This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Okay, let's do this. Hello, folks. This is another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. This is Marcia on Seminole Tribe land from South Florida. We're going across the pond to talk to Sibella from England. And, well, we're going to have a great conversation. She is a personal trainer diagnosed with lupus. I believe she has a YouTube channel. And we've got tons of shit to talk about. Welcome, Sibella.
Hello, hello. Sorry, I love how when people introduce people from England, they've got to say England.
You have to. I can't help it. England. I can't help it. It's not my fault. Blame television, okay?
No, I love it.
So, I mean, let's just get to the diagnosis, get that over with, right? Let's talk about that. The invisible illness, which is very visible to people like us, right? It's quite apparent.
Yes. Yes, of course.
How has that journey been in the UK? Because I have no idea how healthcare works. Was it cut and dry? Like one day you had a big sick, boom, you did the test, bam, you got lupus, or was it years? How did that work out?
Yeah, it's been over a couple of years, actually. From what I can remember, like I just remember growing up and always experiencing joint pain, you know, and it was mostly around the colder seasons, the colder months, although some might argue that we're always cold,
right?
We do have a winter. So yeah, I always found that that was always a point where I would be experiencing pain, so they would take blood tests and it would come back, you know, inconclusive, but there was signs of inflammation. So that was definitely something that was always in my life, but yeah, it took for it to be really bad before they were able to diagnose me with lupus. So in effect, it was a blessing it got so bad, because it was constantly like this feeling of, is this actually happening? Like, nobody was telling me that I was making it up or anything like that, thankfully, but I just felt like, is this in my head? Like, what is actually going on? I'm just needing answers. And, you know, that it's kind of that vicious cycle of, am I making myself sick now from the fretting and the stress of it all? So, yeah, it was good to actually have a diagnosis in the end.
I'm glad you shared that, because there are some things out there that are, I mean, not quote unquote super rare diseases, right? And so they make you feel like if you go to the doctors and you don't have the obvious ones, like, oh, well, I guess we'll just, I don't know, we'll wait and see.
Exactly.
Like they make it seem like it's supposed to be like, sure, we all, not even all of us, many of us have heard about lupus or things like multiple sclerosis, you know, we hear about them.
Yeah.
And so when you show up and you don't obviously have it, you just feel like, okay, what else is it then? I don't know.
Yeah, that somebody gives me answers. You're supposed to have the answers, but unbeknownst to me, there's actually so many different types of inflammatory arthritis or conditions.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, it's probably pretty tricky to like hone it down.
Imagine if you really had like a rare, nobody, you know, you have to go to a specific specialist to see,
man.
For you to get this diagnosis of lupus was hard enough.
I don't
have a name for my issue either. I still don't know what it is. I don't know. I've had that's why I asked. I don't know how UK goes. I've had several people tell me that it's all in my head. It's like 50-50.
Oh, gosh.
I've had doctors say, you'll just learn to get over it. You need to meditate. We're not going to know what it is. So, you know, you just keep working on your own. We're not going to be able to figure it out.
Okay. So this is kind of wash their hands. It's just like, basically, just get over it. Like, nah, this is your job. Like, I'm a human being, like I need to know what's up.
Seriously.
That's awful. That's truly awful. For me, my experience has been really positive. I don't know if it's just a particular hospital and the clinicians that I saw, but my experience has been really, really great. They were, they did listen to me, and they were really enthusiastic about trying to figure out what's going on, you know. And I think when it got to the point of there was clear visual signs to back up what I was verbally telling them, they were like, okay, nah, this is really happening. We need to find out what's going on. And the healthcare here is free. So I feel really blessed, thankful and lucky that I have access to this free healthcare. But, you know, you can have a GP that doesn't want to hear it, can be really dismissive. I know I've heard the stories. I have experienced that in my childhood, but in my adult years, this particular doctor was very quick to respond, and they've just all been great, really. I must say that my diagnosis was quite traumatic, but I don't really think it was traumatic because of them. I think it was just traumatic because it was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die, you know. There's a kind of immediate feeling like, oh, okay, does this mean that my life expectancy is cut short? Because they've obviously got to give you all the information,
right?
As well, I've just got to let you know that, you know, this could happen and this could happen. You're like, oh my god, it's going to happen. It's not if, it is, you know.
Yeah, oh, you can't help but run through it. Yeah
just go immediately from 0 to 100, like, oh my god, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, you look at the worst things that can happen. Oh gosh.
Yeah. That was a bit of me, that was. But they were very quick, and they have continued to be that way. If anything I mention, I'm just like, this hurts now and this hurts now, and you know, they actually really do listen and take on board and make notes and tell me to get in touch with this person, or they refer me to
honestly.
I mean, I've moved cities now from where my actual hospital is, and I don't even tell them I've moved, because if you move, you have to move to a different practice, you know?
Oh.
At least so I think. So I've been like, I can't do that because I'm afraid that where I go won't be as good. So I'm just kind of sticking with them, travel back to that city just to get, you know, the medical care that I've been receiving. So it's worth it. It's definitely
I'd do the same. I don't blame you there. A lot of people travel across the country, especially when it comes to specialists and whatever. There's certain areas that you're just kind of SOL. So that's definitely a thing here too. Is that what led you to become a personal trainer, or were you always active in general?
I was always pretty active. Like, I'm always, you know, doing something. Often it was doing things I wasn't supposed to do, but I managed to turn all that into positive activities. Falling into fitness was, I just felt like I stumbled into it, actually. It was mainly due to a decrease in my mental health. I was like experiencing a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, which was a new introduction to my life. And I just feel like with anxiety, it's like, I don't know if you have this over there, but we've got something called Pringles over here. It's like a little tub of these crisps, and the catchphrase is, once you pop, you can't stop.
Oh yes.
And that's what I think anxiety is. It's like, when you get it, you've got it.
Yeah.
If you haven't had it before, you've got no clue. You don't think it's real. You just think it's a myth. But you get it. It's always going to rear its head in your life. That's my experience anyway. It's just always there. There's this undercurrent of anxiety. You know.
Waiting on you.
Something's making me feel a little bit shifty. Am I going to have a panic attack? You know. I was experiencing a lot of that 1 year, and I just kept frequenting the gym, and it just seemed like a natural progression, really. The gym instructors there were just like, you know what, you've got a knack for it. You're a bubbly person, empathic, and so I just took it from there, became a personal trainer. I did feel like I was experiencing a lot of imposter syndrome, because a lot of these trainers, man. They've been doing this for years, and then there's me like, hello, I'm a personal trainer. But for me, that's, I work for more of a compassionate way, a compassionate angle. Like, I'm all about, how do you feel? Like, how do you actually feel? Let's get into that. So let's unpack that. Our session isn't just about the physical pumping iron.
Talking about numbers.
More about,
and
you know. Yeah, that's not me, man. That's not me. I just like to connect with people and uplift people and share body positivity, because it's not all about, you know, being skinny or getting to that ideal weight. Like, what's going on in your head?
Yeah.
You've got to get your mind right, and then the rest will follow. So that's just pretty much my ethos. So yeah, it was definitely fitness first, and then the lupus came next. Yeah, which has changed things. It's changed things a lot, but for the better, really, because I feel like I have a new direction, like a broader market, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And do you find yourself disclosing this lupus, or do you keep it to yourself when it comes to your clients, or just advertising your services in general?
No, man, I'm always rabbiting on about it. Like, I got lupus, you know. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm definitely okay with it. I do feel like sometimes, like, especially when I'm having a good day, I just need to kid myself into thinking, I don't have it anymore. Can I tell people I have it? And then 2 days later, it's back. And I'm like, I definitely have it. So I think that's definitely common with lupus. You feel so good. You can feel like you're fine. And then the next day, everything's wrong, you know? Yeah, and then the day after, you feel fine. It's just a really, really interesting condition, to be honest. But
definitely.
I'm very transparent about it, and I think for me that's just a really positive thing, and it's quite cathartic, actually. It really helps me deal with it more, I think.
Yeah, you get to be yourself. You don't have to pretend to be anything. You just, hello,
sure.
This is me, yeah. Including lupus. Anyways, what exercises are we doing today? Like,
exactly, exactly. And if anything, it just attracts more like-minded people, people who are going through their ish, do you know what I mean? And they feel that, okay, I know I can go to this trainer and she's going to understand me and my issues, what I've got going on, what's occurring for me. She's going to hold a safe space for me, and that's what I think, just being so open and, you know, transparent like that, it's welcoming, it's attractive. So I think, I know that I definitely seek that out in other people anyway. So
no, I'm with you yeah. There, and does it change, so your ups and downs, does it change the way that you schedule, or how do you do your work, or your own training and juggling work? How does it go?
Yeah, I'm still working it out, to be honest, because I was only diagnosed with lupus this year, and it only got really bad around.
Oh, this is brand new.
Really had to, yeah, brand spanking new.
Wow.
To me, I know. Yeah, and then COVID hit. So I was already toying with the idea of maybe I can't do my job anymore. And it really put me into a really downward headspace for a while. But when lockdown happened, it was almost like I was forced into being in a cocoon anyway. I was forced to spend time with myself and adjust and heal and come to terms with and adapt and think about ways that I can make this work. So I've had time to really think about it, and you know, now that I'm getting and feeling a lot better, I don't think it's a hindrance for my job role. And it's pretty much what other people have been telling me anyway, mm-hmm. is that they wouldn't see my you know, lack of ability to demonstrate certain exercises, especially if I'm having a flare-up. It's more about that motivation. But for me as a trainer, as you know, a somewhat perfectionist and just enjoying my job in general, I want to demonstrate, I want to get involved, I want to be there for my client and let them know, you know, it's okay, and different ways to do an exercise, because there's only so many ways that you can explain how to do something verbally without the use of a visual demonstration. You know, there's a lot of visual learners out there. I know I'm a visual learner. So,
definitely, yeah.
It's just adapting my teaching methods, being kind to myself, and allow myself to experience what I'm experiencing in those moments, especially, as you say, with my own training. You know, there's a lot of times I can't do what I could do before, and I've had to really
scale
swallow that
down.
Pill. Yeah, and just be like, okay, this is where I'm at right now. Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, definitely been there. And in terms of... you said there was a lockdown, but isn't there another one happening or
yeah,
going
man,
to happen?
We're in lockdown 2.0.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll probably be there eventually. We'll find out.
Oh, gosh. Madness, isn't good. It?
So,
mad, so surreal.
So your gym reopened and then now it's closed again anyway, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
What a mess. The response in America for sure has been trash. So... I thought everybody else had it together, because that's what, you know, folks make it seem like. Oh, it's just America. So what happened in the UK? Were they not really, like, protecting folks, or?
Do you know what? I don't really follow the news, so I can't really say exactly what's been happening. Like, I like to, you know, I pretty much rely on hearsay. Like, news is going to get to you no matter what.
Yeah. I don't follow it much either.
Exactly.
Especially for elections, like, I just follow memes. I'm like, the memes will tell me.
The memes will, someone's going to tell you. Your grandparents are going to tell you. Someone's going to inform you. So it's going to reach me eventually. But obviously, I've lived through it. So my experience is, from what I know, is that a lot of people just questioned how we lifted the lockdown. Were we ready? How soon we responded from when they found out that there was this super hyper contagious virus going around? Like, did we respond too late and we were still letting people in the country? And just the rapid spread of this virus and how it was dealt with, really, and just the lifting of the lockdown, and then the different stages of the lifting of the lockdown, and the different stages of reintroducing, like, the lockdown, and now the lockdown, and it's just like, what on earth is going on? I haven't a clue.
Hot mess.
I just follow what I just try and do as I'm told, just about, you know, but...
Oh gosh, yeah, that's pretty wild. And so has that changed how you can get your actual health care then? Because I know for me, most of my specialist or whatever is like online only, but then if you need to see someone for the first time, they want to see you in person. So I've been like kind of out of luck in that regard.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same here. If it's just for like checkups, just to basically see how I'm doing, and just, you know, quarterly, you know, just check in with me, it's over the phone. If I'm expressing the need to see someone in person, they will push you forward if they deem it necessary. Recently I've had a treatment on one of my shoulders because it was frozen, and they needed to give me a steroid injection, so obviously I had to see them, but they did delay it because I was at risk of catching COVID more, because I've had an invasive, even though I think a needle, really, like, how invasive is a needle? Come on.
I mean, if they're considering the travel, the risk, then okay, maybe, but the needle itself, guys, come on.
Yeah, it's a needle.
Did you clean it?
I've got a mouth that's bigger than the hole you're making with the needle. I'm sure it's fine. It'll be fine.
Oh, man.
But just give me the damn injection. But so they are very stringent on who they see when. And yeah, that hasn't fazed me too much.
Well, that's good to hear. Is anything dire? Yeah. But the frozen shoulder, so when you have joint issues, is it like purely orthopedic, like, oh, I just lifted too much, or I did this wrong, or is it usually it's a lupus thing.
I think I've learned now to be able to tell the difference between delayed onset muscle soreness, which is what you're talking about. It's called DOMS. That's what they call it over here anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you've been lifting something, and then your muscles hurt. And I can tell the difference between lupus now. But like I say, it's been very new. So it's been, just kind of learning as I go. But with the shoulder, that was pretty much the first niggle that I had this time last year. Actually, it started in my shoulder.
Hmm.
And I was like, my shoulder's hurting, and I would explain it to people, like, it's hurting, but it's like it's moving around. And it always sounded like an alien. Like, one day it hurts at the front, and then it will hurt at the back, then it will hurt on the side. And I'm like, I can't understand what's going on. I literally felt like I was going crazy. And it was just, I do believe, and they ended up believing that it was the lupus, but it hit me so bad one day. Like, suddenly I was in the most extreme pain, like I was screaming. And they thought I dislocated it because I was in that much pain. All of a sudden, they're like, okay, this was before the diagnosis.
You
must have dislocated it. You're showing signs of dislocation with what you're saying hurts and how it's feeling, rah, rah, rah. So it took them until after my diagnosis to go, okay, we believe that this frozen shoulder was probably caused by your lupus, but we don't know because it's there's not a lot of research with lupus. It's still quite... So I just pretty much self-diagnosed. I was like, I feel like I've got a frozen shoulder occurring. I don't know. Like,
something's not right here, guys.
guys, I haven't dislocated my shoulder. It's not fractured. It's not this. I feel like it's freezing. Like, I feel like I just don't.
I don't
know what's going on. I could tell. I think your subconscious can actually tell you what's wrong with your body, or unless it's a self-fulfilling how do you say it? No, a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, prophecy, yeah.
Then it happens. I don't know if it's that. But I just feel like I always seem to know what's wrong with me. My body seems to tell me, and I'm like, that's what's going on. I can just tell.
Yeah, it's a skill, though, for sure. And the way that happens, it's out of nowhere, or is it at all related to things you're actually doing?
I feel like it's out of nowhere. I think there's also that tendency to say, okay, because you're involved in fitness, you're overusing your joints.
Oh, yeah. People love saying that to me.
Yeah, you're overusing your joints. You're
too much.
Yeah, you're doing too much. You need to chill out. You're like, come on now. Which one is it? Like, I do feel like people who are involved in sport or fitness or whatnot, that you are more susceptible to certain types of injuries. It's going to happen. Something's going to happen. You're going to get a little nick. You're going to get a little this or a little back or that, you know. Something's going to be up.
Right.
I don't know. It just happened. I don't know. Mm.
Yeah. So I don't even really realize that could be a part of lupus, some aggravating, huge... level of pain in a joint. I didn't even know that at all. Most I know about it is, like, you know, skin issues or like sun, you can't deal with the sun too much. And I know about, like, the organ part of it, but I didn't know joint pain was in there too.
Yeah, so there's different types of lupus. They can develop into one another. So, you know, the joys. It's interesting, you know. It can, so with mine, it's systemic lupus erythematosus. I don't know if I ever say that last bit right. It sounds like
I think so.
Like, I don't know. But yeah, that's more to do with my joint tissue being attacked by my own immune system. So the pain is unreal. It's really quite spectacular, to say the least.
Yeah. Do you have nerve pain also?
I do get nerve pain, and that's something that I had to pretty much self-diagnose. Feeling tingling sensations, or just my muscles kind of hurting, but not in a fitness way. You can just tell the difference.
Just something's up, yeah.
Something's not right. You just know.
No, I'm with you there. I'm still in that bubble of what is that? I think the only difference for me has been that I already have a background in movement. I'm a physical therapist, or you guys call physiotherapy.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, to me, I have the direct idea. Like, I'm like, all right, I know I did deadlifts yesterday, but that has nothing to do with my elbow. Why does my elbow feel like this? You know, like, I've had an easier time figuring that out. But when it comes to the lab work, or, you know, everything on paper, it's the same shit. And, well, everything here is normal. Aren't you happy? Look, everything says it's normal. I'm like,
nah, man, that's some bullshit. That's some bullshit. Because, like you say, you are self-aware. Like, you're aware of your body anyway. And I think that's definitely a win for being active, somebody who's, you know, very physically active, or, you know, understands anatomy and understands the body and how it moves and this, that, and the other. You know, and I think you can go to them and be like, look, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm not just walking off the street going, I don't know, I'm just hurting. Like, I'm not coming at you vague like that.
Yeah, it's very specific.
As a professional. As a professional, this is what's happening. Now, you do the lab work, like you say, like, this is your job. You have to find out. This should be exciting for you because you're like, okay, I've got a case that I need to delve more into. And it's just really, it's so sad that that is the case. And this is why I feel just really, really blessed and fortunate that that hasn't been the case for me. And I just feel really rubbish that other people aren't getting that treatment.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. And are you connected with, like, disabled community or lupus folks or anything like that in your area? Do you know what?
In person, no, but on media, yes. Like, on Facebook, I'm part of a lupus group, which actually has been so freaking incredible. Like, when I was diagnosed, like, I did all my research, which I think is really important to anybody who is, you know, being told they've got a condition. Do your research, man.
Yeah.
Like, don't fixate, and I wouldn't encourage people to then, you know, dramatically change their diet, but do your research, find out as much as you can about this new introduction to your life, this new title. You know, how long has it been around? What are other people's experiences? What foods are, you know, you supposed to avoid? With lupus, you're supposed to avoid alfalfa. Like,
alfalfa.
You know, those tiny little little pieces of grass, basically.
That's so
tiny
random.
Shrub. Yeah, it's supposed to be like poison, like.
Wow.
It's supposed to be do not eat alfalfa, like,
okay,
yo, I didn't
guess.
Know that. So it's really interesting. Just going on these groups and just being like, this is what I'm experiencing today. Is anybody else experiencing it? Or people just, you know, share their story, or they just want encouragement, they just want people to talk to. And it's been amazing, really amazing.
That's awesome. And is lupus one of those things, I'm guessing it is, but one of those things where you have one, you'll have something else? Because it seems to be the case in general for a lot of these autoimmune disorders. You know, if you have dysautonomia, then you probably have this too. Or, you know, like, it's like just...
Yeah.
You just start packing them on.
Quite likely, I definitely think so. Because, like you say, inflammatory conditions, they affect your body as a whole. You know, it often resides in the gut, and it just can spew out into many different facets of your body and your mind as well. For me, or as far as I'm aware, all I've got is systemic lupus, and I get carpal tunnel in my fingers. That's it for me. For now.
Forever. Yeah, hopefully. Should hope so. Has it changed the way that you view your body? Or, you know, like, I'm sure you might have had skin changes, or you might be, you know, bloated or something more than usual. Has it changed the way you look at yourself?
Do you know what? It really has for the better. I think at the start, I felt really confused and just like I was living in a dream. Like, how can I be, although, you know, I was experiencing issues for a long time before the diagnosis, but when you're told something, you just have this sudden feeling of, well, I was fine. Well, what do you mean? I was fine. Like, how is that? So what? Am I now part of a special community? Like, hold on. My life just changed. Like, pull the brakes. Like, you know, and the thing is, like, I consider, like, the way my condition has developed and the way I've responded to medication quite lucky. It could be way worse, you know. It could be way worse on so many different levels, so many different things, you know. There's so many different ways to, you know, be terminally ill or have, you know, lose a limb and whatnot. There's always something worse. But still, no matter what it is, you just feel like, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And for once I got over that, which was pretty quick, I just turned inwards. I think for me, I had to really turn inwards and go, I love you as you are, because although I'm glitching, there's a glitch in the makeup of Sabella. Sabella's body, my mechanism is still working so freaking hard to keep me alive, to keep me blinking, to keep me breathing, to keep me seeing and touching and feeling. And, you know, there's so much more positive that's going on with my body than this glitch, you know. And it's so easy to, it's just like pain, you know. Often you feel your pain so much, but you don't notice when it's gone.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't appreciate when you don't.
You don't notice that moment. Yeah. You're like, until something else happens, then your mind will focus on that other pain, but you'll be like, oh, that went, that other thing, it's gone. So it's so easy to focus on pain and negative than all the positive. And that's what it's really been teaching me. So it's definitely a lesson for me to embody positivity, body positivity, which is, you know, how I feel like I've kind of fallen into this movement a lot stronger than I probably would have been pre-lupus.
Right. No, I'm with you. And it's not even to be like, oh, good vibes only, or like live, love, laugh. Not even. It's like, this sucks over here, but hold on, there's still some stuff over here that's actually pretty good.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Because I still have my days. I still have my moments. I still cry. I still think, you know, why? But I'm not exempt. Nobody is exempt from the trials and tribulations of life. So a lot of people have what I'm experiencing at a younger age. So I'm doing all right because I got it in my 30s, I guess, you know.
Yeah. And so what do you do for yourself on the bad days?
On the bad days, man, just some serious self-care, some self-love, self-kindness, self-preservation, reminding myself that I'm worthy of all of those things. I'm deserving of all of those things. Going for a walk, nature just really simplifies things for me. You know, really it does. And self-massaging, that is a really beautiful, wonderful thing. It's cleansing the body of toxins, it's increasing the blood flow, it's, you're just nurturing yourself, especially if I'm experiencing pain. Like, I'll nurture that area with love. Just send positivity to that area. It's not magic. It isn't just going to suddenly be okay. But it's like, you know, you're telling yourself, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. Just like, just, yeah.
No, I like that. That's what I do. Do you have any like go-to tools or whatever? Like, I have like a back massager, you know, I have like my Theracane. Yeah, do you have anything that you could always grab?
No, just some good quality oil, man, that smells good. Got a little bit of frankincense in there, got a little bit of turmeric, whatever, like these grounding scents,
Yeah.
like sensory overload is really important. Bath, Epsom salts, magnesium salts. But no, I don't usually use tools. I always buy them, get well into it, and then they end up
And then
under my
fall
bed or
out of
something.
it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like,
Yeah.
ah, oh, nah, I can't be bothered.
No, I definitely
I
have a
tell you
couple
what I do
things I
use.
wasted on.
Yeah, I do use a foam roller. You
Yeah.
have, yeah, you've got those.
Yeah.
You, do you call them foam rollers over there?
Yeah, we call them foam rollers.
Yeah, that is the shit. That is the good stuff.
Yeah.
That is good. I love it. I love
I
it.
also have a vibration plate I stand on sometimes that actually helps me too.
Oh, what, these giant ones that you stand on?
No, like a cheap one from Amazon, like an $80 one from Amazon. What I look like? No. You think I have giant vibration plate money?
Oh man.
No,
Okay. Yeah.
little ones, little
So they're
ones.
good, are they?
If you have a lot of spasms, sometimes that can kind of bring them down. That's what I use it for more than anything, is the spasms.
Okay.
Yeah.
No way. That's good. That's good to know because we've got some of
Yeah.
those at my new job, so I'll have to give
What's
it a go.
the so for me, for the nerve pain, the only thing that helps me is like acupuncture and then my vape. So my cannabis. What's the cannabis situation in UK? How's that go? Do people even have that medically legal or legal period? I don't know anything. I know
I don't know. I know CBD is like everywhere. You could get
yeah,
CBD in
anywhere.
toothpaste, in shampoo. You could
In
probably
your
get it as an eye
latte.
drop. Yeah. What do you want? What do you want? CBD. It's like a new thing to everyone. Like, oh my gosh. I know
That's
somebody's
everywhere.
capitalizing off that, isn't it? With cannabis, I don't think it is legal. I think they've been talking about it. I don't know if you can get it medically or not. I've got no clue.
Yeah,
Not a clue.
and then any of the alternative stuff like the acupunctures and the I don't know, Ayurvedic stuff, you know, like the other not traditional medicines, is that big over there?
Yes, for sure. I think you just kind of pretty much got to be that way inclined to want to try it, you know. I think
Yeah.
I've tried acupuncture in the past. It's definitely that something I'd look into doing again. And I'm all for my potions as well. Like, I love my teas. I'll try anything,
Yeah.
anything.
Oh,
You've got to
man.
go back to nature, really, don't you? You've got to do your best to have as much whole foods, as much untampered with foods as you can in your diet. Like, how can it be wrong when it comes from the earth? Come on.
Yeah. And it's a little easier to figure out what's working and what's not, because you know what it is. Like, it's just, all right, this is a carrot. That's all it is. It's a carrot. All right, great. Like, there's nothing else to
This
figure
is
out.
a
Yeah, but I don't do any of those. Do you get into like the strict restrictive diets and protocols? Over here, there's a bunch of them that people are like number one, gluten free everywhere, right? Everybody says gluten free.
I know,
And then the number
gosh.
two one I hear is something called the autoimmune protocol or something like that. Autoimmune, it's AIP, autoimmune something protocol. I don't know. And it's like no beans, no this, no nuts, no this, no that, no peppers, like no, like there's just a list.
Yeah, that's probably stemmed from Dr. I think his name's Shebby or something like that.
Maybe.
Shebby. I know that he was supposed to be a bit of a guru when it came to healing lupus and other inflammatory conditions. So it's probably come from that. Yeah, there are some really dramatic diets that you can try, or like maybe doing enemas and coffee enemas. And for me, I know that sugar is a major catalyst for a lot of inflammatory conditions, and sugar is my one and only vice. I know it's bad for me, but I can't
Can't
help
help
it. Can't help it.
it.
Can't help it.
No, not at all.
If
Nah,
I
I'm
did,
sweet
I'd
tooth.
probably
Yeah.
be much better, but I don't know. I think if it works for that person, all good, but everybody's body is different. It's not going to work for everyone. I do think that having more of an alkaline diet is definitely a win, definitely a positive thing, to have a lot more greens on your plate. That's good for the body. If your body is acidic, which most people's bodies are, and it's so hard to not make your body acidic, having an acidic body is not good for your body. Having a more alkaline body is definitely more positive.
We could always use more veggies, that's for sure. Yeah, I think that's the biggest point, though, is that I have a serious problem when somebody, like, if you want to say, hey, I've done this and it works for me, maybe you should try, you know, like, I might tell somebody, oh, I've used acupuncture for this, maybe if you have it nearby, you could try it, but I'm not going to send you a message that's like, this is going to cure you if you do it, and you have to follow it. I'm like,
No.
I don't know.
Gonna do it now because you said so.
Exactly. Makes me want to do it less.
I'm gonna repel what you've said, and I'll do it in my own time. Thank you.
Yeah. No. I'm
say
not
no,
interested.
But like I'll probably end up trying it when I'm ready. I'm not all for like, you know, preaching or saying that this is what you need and that's gonna definitely work for you. Because it's not. It's got to be somebody's intention, somebody's own decision, and they have to be mentally invested because it's about what's going on in your head as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's my viewpoint on it. But yeah, there are definitely certain things. But people know. People have that innate feeling inside. They know if I eat this. This is probably not going to be any good for me.
Yeah, there will be. So, I mean, there are things that are, you know, supposedly more inflammatory, right? So, like beans, for example. And if I'm feeling bad and I see a plate of beans, my body will tell me, like, yo, chill.
Yeah.
And it'll tell me. And I've learned from those times when I looked at it, like, I don't really feel like eating it, but I ate it that day and I didn't feel, you know, and that's my childhood. Like, I'm from the, you know, my family's from the Caribbean. We eat beans. So for somebody to tell me, like, oh, you should never be eating that, I'm like, that's my whole life. But if I pay attention to my body, it'll tell me, like, you know what? Like, you really want some broccoli right now. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go get some broccoli.
Let's get the broccoli.
Like those signals are there, but you just have to pay attention.
Exactly. Those signals, they are there. And it's tough if you're somebody who's a vegan as well.
Yeah, your selection's a little different.
Yeah, because you go to beans for protein. That's a protein source.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Legumes as well. They're like, oh, don't have legumes if you've got lupus. It's like, well, what can I have? What can I eat, man? Stop it. Stop cutting my diet.
Yeah, no, that's...
And now I just eat what I want, what I know for myself is right. And like you said, listen to the signals. If you know that it's no good, then just don't have it. If you feel like having it, have the damn food, man. Eat it.
Honestly, the stress that you created about whether or not you should eat it, you might as well just done
just it. Just eat it, exactly.
Oh my gosh, seriously. So usually we record for like an hour or so, but I'd like to know what more about where you're from, where your family's from. What's that about? Because you said you're living in Birmingham, but not actually from Birmingham.
I've just recently moved in with my mum, actually, in Birmingham. And that's been really great because I'm hoping to save some money, buy a property. But I've always moved around a lot when I was younger. My mum moved a lot. She had her reasons. And so that, you know, I feel like I adopted that habit into my life.
Oh, really?
Yes. Only me. Only I was affected by this. My brothers, my siblings, they are very much homebodies. They have been in one place only, pretty much their whole lives. But me, I've moved around England. I then moved abroad. I've lived in Australia 5 years. I lived in New Zealand a year. I spent months in Brazil. Traveled Southeast Asia all by myself. So I've lived out of the UK, I think it was for like 6 years before I came back 2 years ago.
Oh wow, so you've been all around.
I'm an explorer. I think if back in an older life or something, that's probably what I did as well. Explore, expedition, seek out new land, see what's a going on. Yeah, so I'm not really from anywhere. That's pretty much what I tell people. It's a very annoying.
You're not from
answer.
Anywhere.
I'm not from anywhere, bro. What do you want
from Earth? I don't know.
Yeah, from the universe.
I don't
from
know.
The galaxy.
I just sprinkled from the skies. You know me. That's a good one. I love that.
Just leave them with that, and they just feel so like
you have an answer to me. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'd love to have you back on because we have so many things that we could unpack and explore and talk about. But for now, what would you like to leave? A little nugget of advice or something that you've learned in your fitness, in your lupus journey that you'd like to share?
I don't know. Just be kind to yourself. And what people are experiencing, what I'm experiencing is real for me, but there's just so much more than my condition. I'm more than my condition. My condition isn't me, you know, and just redefining, reinventing myself is really important, and be willing to do that as well, and be willing to let go of an idea of who I thought I was. I think learning to detach from an identity can be the most painful thing to do. And I just encourage people just to be a bit more like fluid, a bit more malleable with who they perceive themselves to be and who they choose to be around other people. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
No, I'm like, I got you. I'm picking up what you put down.
Yeah,
because that's
to be different sides of yourself. You're deep. You're very deep.
Yeah, there's levels.
Person, there's so many different levels. You don't have to be a certain type of you every day, like, and it's okay.
Yeah, and
it's okay not to be okay too.
Yeah, if I sit on the couch for a week, like, that's all right. I'm still a power lifter. If I didn't lift anything that week, right. I don't care.
Absolutely.
It didn't change.
Yeah, that's a key point as well. Like, I would always chastise myself and being lazy.
Yeah.
I want to stay in bed today, but I'm lazy. And no, I'm not. I'm just having the bed day. Like, chill wisdom. It's all good.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, where can everybody find you on the internets?
They can find me on Instagram, sabella.davis, for my body positivity, for my fitness training and self-care and all that good stuff. They can also find me on YouTube at simply Sabella. So it's pretty much more of the same stuff, but more honed into self-care and hair, my hair journey, my natural hair journey seems to be popular, so I'm happy to do more of that, which is not the direction I wanted to go in, but you know, give the people what they want. And so that's where people can find me.
Lovely. All right, well, you guys know what to do. Find her on everything. And stay tuned for whenever we have her back. It'll happen.
Yeah, man. Have me back, please.
Disabled Girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram, @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.